135,786. Cell deployment complete.
All right.
Light Sail spreads its wings this week on Planetary Radio. Welcome. I'm Matt Kaplan of the Planetary Society with more of the human adventure across our solar system and beyond. And that was the moment we learned that LightSail 2 had successfully deployed its solar sail. I was there in the Mission Operations Center at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo as the team celebrated the moment. I rushed down the California coast soon after so that I could share it and more with you. It's late morning on July 23rd. We're in the Cal Poly School of Engineering, specifically the home of PolySat, the CubeSat research lab, run by John Bilardo. John is one of the six mission controllers sitting at laptops displaying every intricate detail regarding LightSail 2. To John's left is project manager Dave Spencer, and next to Dave is the LightSail program manager, Bruce Betts.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Matt.
Set the scene here. Tell us about what's going on.
We're in the PolySat lab at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo getting ready for sail deployment of LightSail 2. So we've got the core mission team here sitting at tables waiting for time to pass while we do some analysis of the last pass.
And that just happened moments before we started to speak. What happened during that pass?
We were able to upload a new orbital information file, so-called TLE, so the spacecraft more accurately knows where it is at any given time, and then make some slight tweaks to the attitude determination and control system in anticipation of being in solar sailing mode soon.
And there was the answer to this week's trivia question, but we'll get back to that. It looks like maybe six people sitting in front of laptops that are running this mission.
That's exactly what's going on. We've got Dave Spencer, the project manager, and John Bilardo from Cal Poly, who is managing the uplink, downlink, and all the software on the spacecraft. Alex Diaz from Ecliptic Enterprises doing electrical, mechanical type things. And Barbara Plant from Boreal Space doing attitude determination control system work. And then Michael Fernandez, a student from Cal Poly, who's watching monitors and helping us track everything, and me. And then we've got other people who are not actively involved in the operations but have been key to the history and success and development and testing.
And one small child who's playing with her Disney princesses.
Yeah. Did we add her to the team?
Talk about what's going on up here and the display that we saw, that waterfall so-called display.
Yeah, waterfall display is pretty colors. And basically, it plots the intensity versus the radio frequency, Matt, radio frequency. And so we are looking for the appropriate frequency for LightSail. And then we see increases in brightness when LightSail transmits and we receive a beacon from LightSail or its Morse code continuous wave signal.
You saw this big kind of a bell curve jump up centered in the middle of the screen because that was the center of the frequency that you're transmitting on, or LightSail's transmitting on?
Yeah, and that would have been showing the current time, and then what it does is it rolls that down over time, so you're seeing the last few seconds, last minute, and it transmits down, not transmits, moves down the waterfall plot. And you can also see the transmission from Cal Poly up to the spacecraft is, of course, a much stronger signal appearing red in the color coding they've done.
How are we looking for less than an hour and a quarter from now for deployment of the sails?
You look marvelous.
How's the spacecraft looking? But thank you.
Oh, okay. It's looking good. We accomplished what we wanted to on the last pass, and so nominally we'll deploy, but we'll go through a go-no-go check after people have looked at the data from the last pass to make sure that we really are ready and planning on doing it, and then we'll take in data very rapidly, a smaller set of data at the beginning of the pass, and then make the final decision to deploy.
How soon after the deploy command descent will we have some evidence, or do you hope we'll have some evidence, that it's actually happening?
Could be very rapidly within seconds or minute. If it, it depends on when it gets in and whether we continue to receive the beacon information. But the key thing we'll be looking for is the motor count. So the motor that rotates to unfurl the booms that pull the sails out, that count should go up. And it should go up fast and within a lot of it.
All right, go light sail.
Go light sail too.
Jennifer Vaughn is also in the Operations Center. She is the Chief Operating Officer of the Planetary Society.
Jennifer, I was going to say big moment, but really this is the biggest moment.
Well, it's close to the biggest moment. So it's the big moment that precedes the other big moments, because it's a reminder, what we're trying to do here is prove solar sailing in Earth orbit. You can't do that without a sail. So the very first thing we have to do today is make sure the sail gets out correctly, that it's all the way out, and that we're ready to actually start solar sailing and watching the orbit rise.
I don't know if you feel the same way I do, but I bet you do. Just being in this room and watching this team do what it does to control the spacecraft and everything going well.
I've been so impressed. So I've been lucky enough to be lurking on the phone with this team since we first started hearing from the spacecraft. But today's my first day actually in the room with them. So on one hand, I feel like I've been along for the ride, but it's nothing like being here in person, seeing them work out these issues in real time, watching the data come in, helping to analyze what they're seeing. It's very exciting.
And this is something that I've covered with you and with others before, but just talk about what led to this day.
Decades led to this day, and tremendous vision led to this day. So it all started with our founders being very interested in this topic. So Carl, Bruce, and Lou all had deep interest and investment in seeing solar sailing become a reality. That led us to an opportunity to dip our own toes in the water with Cosmos One. That was our first project. That was 20 years ago when we started working on that, as a way for the Planetary Society to actively advance the concept of solar sailing. And then after failure of Cosmos One, we went back to our members and said, what should we do now? Do you want us to try again? Members said, absolutely, get going, try it again. And that led to the concept of light sail, which is a very innovative design of taking solar sailing, which is robust propulsion, and marrying it with a very small off-the-shelf spacecraft with the CubeSat. And so with this demonstration, we're not only testing solar sailing in Earth orbit and controlling that sail in Earth orbit, but we're also looking at a combination of higher tech propulsion tied with small CubeSats, and that might open up access for more players in space.
And that really is the core of the dream, right? I mean, I know not only does solar sailing or light sailing present this opportunity to reach places around our solar system, but perhaps beyond.
Yeah, well, there's the long-term dream. Yeah, for those who really want to dream big. This is solar sailing is the only known method for one day reaching the stars. So obviously it wouldn't be with the sun anymore. It would be with other forms of light propelling a sail over these long distances. But this is the early, early stages of this technology design. The Planetary Society is on the front leading edge of this. And we hope that the successors will take this technology, develop it, and one day bring us to that point where we can explore beyond our own solar system.
I'm going to glance at my watch. Let's see. Just over a half hour to go, no go. Only about 45 minutes until we find out if those sails are going to deploy and start sailing on the light of the sun.
It's happening now. I'm so excited. Of course, there's always a little bit of nervousness with these moments, but it's also coupled with, hey, if it doesn't work the first time, there's ways to try again. So we'll have other passes that we can work with. But here's hoping that everything works the first time out. I'm excited. We got a great team here. So very excited for their work. Very proud of what they've done.
Go light sail too.
Go light sail too.
What you're about to hear is what happened over the next few minutes. I've heavily compressed these events that actually stretched out over more than 40 minutes. It begins with a tradition that dates back to the earliest days of the space age, with Dave Spencer polling the mission team, making sure everything is go.
Okay, this is our go-no-go for sail deployment, and we're making the go-no-go determination based on the most recent tracking station pass. Start off with ground systems.
Ground systems are go.
Copy. Flight mechanics?
We're go.
Copy. ADCS?
ADCS is go.
Systems?
Systems is go.
Copy. Camera?
Camera is go.
Okay. Program manager, we're go for sail deployment.
Go.
Now we wait for Lightsail 2 to appear above the horizon so that we can communicate with it. While we hope there will soon be images and possibly even video of the sail deployment, these will not be available live as it happens. In fact, as I record this, download of the images has been delayed. But the team will know that deployment has begun because telemetry from the spacecraft will tell us that a tiny motor has started spinning. It's this motor that will pull the big sections of sail from the breadloaf-sized CubeSat. Each revolution of the motor is counted, and each revolution will bring us closer to full success.
Okay, just so you guys know, we're going to be rising over Cal Poly here in about 3 minutes. The Cal Poly tracking pass is about 13 minutes long. Then we'll be going over Purdue and Georgia Tech. Simultaneously, we'll switch over transmission from Cal Poly to the Purdue tracking station in terms of commanding at that point.
The sun vector angle looks good, 66 degrees.
Which? Motor count increasing, sail deployment initiated.
All right.
I didn't even confirm.
All right. 135,000 counts to go.
Camera slots remaining are decreasing, so cameras are being pictures are being taken.
Excellent.
Motor count 36,498, 41,500.
Target value is 135,728.
We're at 46K, 51K, 57K.
Sail deployment nominally takes 2.5 minutes.
68K motor position, 80,000, 86,000, 108,000. 135,786.
Cell
deployment complete.
All right. Yeah. 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 I got the state packet up, setting to detemple.
1:23 p.m. Pacific time, and it's good. We got a sail out. We got a spacecraft.
Dr. Spencer, Aaron's wondering if you could maybe just give a quick summary over the Skype call on video here.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Lightsail 2 sail deployment is complete. We commanded sail deployment a few minutes into the Cal Poly pass over the tracking station. We initially armed the sail. We waited a couple of minutes to make sure that everything looked good in telemetry and also to allow the sun geometry to improve for our imaging during sail deployment. We commanded the sail deployment, saw the motor counts begin to increment, and over the next 2.5 minutes, they incremented out to the expected value. And that's our indication that the solar sail was fully extended. So we also took a sequence of images throughout the sail deployment event, and over the next tracking station pass, we'll hopefully begin to downlink some of the image thumbnails from that. Those are highly compressed images that'll give us an idea of what we captured during the image sequence. Also next pass, the goal is to transition into what we call mode 2, which is solar sailing mode, where we orient the solar sail edge on to the sun when we're moving towards the sun, face on when we're moving away from the sun. And that allows us to increase the orbital energy over time, which is the objective of the mission. That's where we are.
Great, thank you very much.
All right, thank you guys.
Planetary Society CEO Bill Nye was unable to join us in person, but he was watching and listening with the rest of us via Skype, and he knew when we'd achieve the goal of full deployment.
Nicely
be done, you guys. Congratulations to everyone. That is fantastic.
As we waited for the next pass and an attempt to download images, I asked three of the longest-serving members of the LightSail team to join me. Justin Foley and Stephanie Wong started on the mission as Cal Poly students under lab director John Bilardo. Justin is now a testbed engineer for the 2020 Mars rover coming together at the Jet Propulsion Lab. Stephanie is a mechanical integration engineer at Ecliptic Enterprises, which has played an essential role in bringing LightSail to its success. Stephanie was holding the youngest in-person witness to sail deployment.
You guys have got to be feeling pretty good. John Bilardo?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been working for many years as a team to get to this moment. And, you know, I'm personally very excited. I know the whole team is really excited as well.
I'm also really excited. I feel lucky to be here right now since I had to come up from Los Angeles. But this is really fun, especially having done LightSail 1, especially, you know, sitting next to John doing the deployment again was awesome, watching those motor counts go up. So excited right now.
And you're the only person who brought a second generation for LightSail.
Yeah, I remember LightSail 1. She was in my belly during operations. And then we did test deployments, and she was just a tiny baby. And now she's grown up to see a different world we're going to come into. So it's kind of cool to see her grow up just as LightSail's kind of grown up too.
John, where are we now? What's happening? Everything is exactly as it should be, nominal?
Yeah, absolutely. The spacecraft is nominal. The attitude control is where we want it. It's detumble mode right now, so it's taking out some of the rates that could have potentially been induced when we deployed the sail. Right, and so the next pass, we're going to work on transitioning into solar sailing mode. So that's sort of next up on the agenda.
Does that mean that you'll start doing those 90-degree turns twice every orbit?
Yep, that is what's going to happen starting next orbit, assuming things stay on schedule.
So what is the orientation of the sail now? Do you know?
Yes, we have data that will tell us where the sail is pointed. However, we're not trying to control it to be a particular orientation. What we're trying to do is make the spacecraft spin down. So instead of spinning at a few degrees a second, hopefully we'll get it, you know, maybe less than, you know, 2 or 1 degree per second on all the axes. That's what we're trying to do right now.
I mean, it is only the light of the sun. Even if you're not oriented correctly now, it's not like LightSail is going to be knocked out of its orbit.
That's correct. The sun is not that strong. The solar sail effect is wonderful because you get propulsion continuously while you're, you know, in sunlight. And that's really what builds up a lot of momentum and allows you to go sailing someplace. For an orbit or two, you're not going to really accumulate enough to make a large difference one way or the other.
I just want to congratulate the three of you. The rest of the team is sort of spread all around us here. It is a great moment. It's something that you've been building to for so many years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay.
Can you say LightSail?
Yay, sail.
Our special LightSail 2 deployment coverage from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo will continue in this week's What's Up, as Bruce and I welcome a special guest. That's after the break, when Planetary Radio continues.
Hello, I'm Robert Picardo, Planetary Society board member and now the host of the Society's Planetary Post video newsletter. There's a new edition every month. We've already gone behind the scenes at JPL, partied at Yuri's Night, and visited with CEO Bill Nye. We've also got the month's top headlines from around the solar system. You can sign up at planetary.org/connect. When you do, you'll be among the first to see each new show. I hope you'll join us.
Hey, Planetary Radio listeners. The Planetary Society now has an official online store. We've teamed up with Chop Shop, known for their space mission posters, to bring you space-inspired art and merchandise. You can find exclusive Planetary Society t-shirts, posters, and more. Visit planetly/spaceshop to learn more. That's planet.ly/spaceshop.
Time for a very special What's Up on Planetary Radio. So we are joined by the chief scientist of the Planetary Society, who is sitting in the exact same chair that he was in as the program manager for LightSail 2 when LightSail deployed its sails. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited. And I just want to point out, I did not steal the chair. We're still in the same room.
This is operations. This is where the whole team was. Your neighbor here our special guest on this What's Up. Introduce him.
This is Dave Spencer, a professor at Purdue University and project manager for LightSail 2.
Good to see you again, Dave. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. It's a huge day for us. You know, everything's gone great, and we're really excited to have the sail deployed at this point and looking forward to solar sailing.
And so what we're waiting for now, right, are our pictures, because we want our pictures.
Well, I always want the pictures. But we also want to get down telemetry data that tells us other engineering information. So we'll be working on both those things.
More news about LightSail 2, no doubt, next week. Tell us what's up in the night sky.
Well, now LightSail 2. It's been up there, but now it should be potentially brighter. You can go to the Planetary Society website to the at sail.planetary.org to the update page and see when the next pass is for you, but it's going to be highly variable depending on whether you're edge on when you won't see it or whether you're face on and then it may appear bright in the sky. So check it out, but if you want a sure thing, go for Jupiter. Jupiter's dominating in the evening sky in the south and looking like a super bright star, and over to its left is yellowish Saturn, also looking bright but not nearly as bright.
What if Jupiter's edge on?
I think you'll still see the red spot. Is that how that works? We move on to this week in space history. It was 50 years ago that Apollo 11 returned from the moon and splashed down with the astronauts who were first to walk on the moon.
Dave, we're ready for a little bit more of your special guest spot.
Bruce, how about a random space fact?
Sure, Dave. This is one that you and four other people know the answer to. The ending motor position of the light sail deployment motor that deployed the sail, 135,786, nearly exactly what we were shooting for.
That's a number that will be etched in history.
Exactly. Don't forget it. 135,786.
What are those call letters again?
135,786. Oh, sorry. W9XP.
Doesn't matter. Nobody's listening to that station except for you guys and some shortwave guys. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to the contest.
All right, last time we asked you something, and I have no idea what it was.
Let me help. You asked people, what does ADCS stand for?
Oh, it's so light sail themed. And we even have Barbara Plant right over there, ADCS expert.
Yeah, she's waving us off. That's showing attitude, Barbara.
Determined attitude.
Speaking of determined attitude, ADCS, yes, we asked what it stands for, Attitude Determination and Control System, or they could have said software or sheep, but that would have been, sheep would have been wrong.
Here's how Dave Fairchild, our poet laureate, put it. If you are a satellite, there's things you need to know to help you decide on where you are and where you need to go. Your attitude determination may be found, I hope, with systems of control that might include a gyroscope.
And indeed it does.
But here's our winner for this week. It's Brian McCarville in South Beloit, Illinois, who says, go light sail. Congratulations, Brian. We have gone, and we're still going. And you have won yourself a 200-point iTelescope.net astronomy account, a Planetary Society kick asteroid. You want to say it with me?
Rubber asteroid.
And Bruce Betts' book, Astronomy for Kids.
Yay!
We're ready for a new contest.
Following the LightSail 2 theme, in the logo for LightSail 2. What is the lowermost element in the logo that's not just a line? Lowermost element in the logo. Go to planetary.org/radio contest to get us your answer.
You have until Wednesday, July 31st at 8 a.m. Pacific time to get us this answer. No cheating, Dave. I saw you looking at that sticker right there.
I couldn't resist. I took a quick look. I know the answer, but I won't tell anyone.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You have a chance to win. I didn't bring anything special with us, so we'll just leave it at a 200-point iTelescope.net account this week. That, of course, iTelescope is the worldwide network of remote-operated telescopes that you can use to, oh, I don't know, if you're really, really quick, you might catch light sail, although Binoculars are probably a better idea. And a Planetary Society kick asteroid, rubber asteroid. And that'll be it for this week.
All right, everybody, go out there, look up the night sky, and think about, Dave, what should they think about?
Go light sail.
Go light sail! Thank you, and good night.
That's Bruce Betts, the chief scientist for the Planetary Society, also the program manager for Light Sail 2, with Dave Spencer, the project manager for Light Sail 2. And that's what's up. Many thanks to those of you who've given us a rating or review in iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Planetary Radio is produced by the Planetary Society in Pasadena, California, and is made possible by our spacefaring members. Mary Liz Bender is our associate producer. Josh Doyle composed our theme, which was arranged and performed by Peter Schlosser. I'm Matt Kaplan with a little gift for all of you who celebrated a certain 50th anniversary on July 20th. Here's a tribute from the amoeba people called One Giant Leap. Ad Astra.
July 16, 1969, a Saturn V rocket took off for the skies. It orbited Earth, then left for the moon. Armstrong, Aldrin, Collins, too.
Apollo 11, out to the moon they took. Apollo 11, out to the moon they took. Apollo 11, out to the moon. 20 July, 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap.
1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap. In lunar orbit, Collins in control. The Columbia waited for the plan to unfold. Armstrong and Aldrin and the Eagle descended down to the surface as intended.
The Eagle has landed. That's what I said. The Eagle has landed.
Small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
20 July 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap. Receiving transmission from the moon. Go ahead, Neil.
Neil, come in.
I didn't quite get that.
I couldn't make it out. What did he say?
I believe he said that's one small speck of ham, one giant grease stain on my thigh.
No, he says that's one mall cop named Stan and one giant Jeep that Stan drives.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either.
No! I said that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Oh!
Well, that makes a lot more sense.
It's actually quite profound.
I'd say poetic, even.
Maybe he has a career in radio.
Well, he certainly has the face for it.
Oh!
20 July 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
20 July 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap.
One giant leap
for mankind.
Woohoo! Woohoo!